Jack, last Sunday was doing chapter 29 of the book of Acts, right? So I will do chapter 30. Now we are going to be talking about increasing our faith, and that is coming from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. We're not just going to be in that specific scripture, but we are going to take that idea to talk about what we are going to talk about today. You see, the title is Increase Our Faith. Well, when you see in Luke chapter 17, verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will be obeyed you. We know that this specific scenario, Jesus is talking with the apostles, okay? And also is talking with those in the first century who are going to have this power to do miracles in that way. But the idea to increase our faith is a huge idea that we can take today, okay? Because we need more faith. We need faith all the time. Sometimes when a life is not in the way that we want, we need more faith. So we are going to be talking about this, again, idea, increasing our faith. So let us do a little introduction here. We know that in time of disappointment, heartache, sickness, or discontent, we sometimes feel that God is very far away. And I don't know if you remember in the book of Job, like, he was like, I know I have in these all these issues, and he was thinking about, you know, it's like, God is not, do not care about me, you know, and I'm having all this distress, and God says, no, you do not know what I'm doing. You know, you do not know I am having everything under control. And sometimes we think or we believe that when something terrible is happening to us, we think, well, God is not there. And with the message that God has given us, that he is always with us. He's always there. So people can ask, how could he have let this happen? Or maybe, why is not he doing something right now to stop it or fix it? Do you know someone who is always saying or talking about, you know, if God is real, why we have evil in this world? Or if God is real, why there's so many people hungry? Or if God is real, why? They do not understand how God works. And sometimes we do not understand how he works. And the point is, we do not need to know everything about God, how he works. But we need to know something specific, that he is working and he is doing something. That is what we need to know, that he is working and he is doing something. Sometimes we do not know what he is doing. Sometimes we do not need to know what he is doing, but we need to know that he is working. And you know that you think about many different countries that are, you know, people are against God in many different ways, and you think like, well, why God is not doing something with those people? Well, do you think that God is not doing something? I believe that God is always working and doing something and carry out his plan. Let me give you an example with Jesus. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were planning to kill Jesus, and they were like, this is our plan. We are going to kill this man. And you think like, no, this is not your plan. This is God's plan. You know, Jesus told the disciple many times during the gospel that I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, I'm going to be rejected. So these guys here, they were planning, they were making the plan, like, we are going to kill Jesus. And God says, no, that is my plan. You are just being part of my plan. So every time that you see in the scripture that God is doing something, you need to be like trusting more in God. Maybe you do not know, again, you do not know what he's doing, but he's doing something. So in John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus explained this to the disciples, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace and work and me. Here and there, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world." So, I don't know about you, but I heard some saying that if I come to Christ, if I come to Jesus, I hope that I can have an easy life. I hope that Christianity can be easy. I hope following Jesus can be easy, you know? I hope that all the sorrow, the pain, the suffering that I have can disappear and everything can be okay, you know? Note this, Jesus never promised to you that you are going to have an easy life. Jesus is saying here, on this earth, you are going to have what? Trials and suffering and pain and sorrow. But notice what Jesus is going to say later. But trust me, take heart. I have overcome. The victory is already mine, Jesus said. So you need to trust. And that is the difficult part. That's why we need more faith, because sometimes we are not trusting in God. We are not trusting enough when something is going on in our life. We are not trusting enough in God. And God says, no, you need to trust more. Because we want to see. We want to see what God is doing. He says, no, you do not need to see that. You need to trust. You need to trust. So we are going to be talking, and I know that it was some kind of Bible study, but it's not going to be in that way. It's going to be a sermon this evening. So I have 3 points, and the first one is, teacher, do you not hear? So I know that you remember this event in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, when there was a huge storm in the sea. So let's read something like this. Let us read in Mark chapter 4. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciple woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Notice this. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Teacher, do you see that what's going on here? There is a storm. The boat is with water. We can die, Jesus. And you are sleeping." And sometimes I think many Christians feel in that way. You know, they are like in the boat and they see the storm. You know, they are like, the boat is with water. And you think like, "Jesus, do not care about my life. You know, I am having all these problems. And Jesus, do not care." But note this. What is Jesus at this moment? He is in the boat. He is in the boat. But the disciples are really worried about this. You know, they're like, "Jesus, you do not care." And Jesus is like, "Guys, I am in the same boat with you. I am here." But the point is, they were not trusting. They want like everything, like, okay, you know, no storm, you know, everything in peace. But when the storm came, they were like, "Whoa, we don't like this. Jesus, and you are sleeping, Jesus. We don't know what you are doing, Jesus, so please do something now." He said, I hear more than once, and I know what Jesus is doing, you know. I have all these issues, and I don't see him doing something. It's like the apostles. Jesus, you do not care? Jesus, again, I am in the boat. I am in the same boat. So I know you feel in this way sometimes that you think like Jesus, he did not care. But it is amazing how many people believe in this way. And people can say, God, don't you care? You know, I am having this issue. I am having this problem. I am having this difficulty. God, don't you care about this? And what is the answer? The answer is, yes, I care about you. But sometimes we're not trusting. We're not trusting enough that God cares. And that is a huge problem. So that is why, again, you need more what? Faith. More trusting in God. Don't you know what is going on? And do you not care that you will die? Do you not care, Jesus? And again, the point is not that Jesus do not care. The point is Jesus is giving us the opportunity that we can trust more. So, does Jesus care about you? Absolutely. Does Jesus care about you? And I hope that you have the answer, like, amen. So, I was telling you this morning, there are teachings in the Bible that are easy to understand, but also there are teachings in the Bible that are easy to understand but difficult to do. And I think this is one of those that are difficult in some way to do, because God said, you need to trust me. And you're like, okay, I know that. But when something happens, I'm not trusting right now. And you're not trusting not because God cannot do something. You're not trusting because you want to have control over everything that is going on. And let me say this, we don't have control sometimes, but we want to have controls over situations. And like we are telling God, well, I cannot fix this, so can you do it? We cannot just give God the part that we cannot fix. We need to give God everything. Like, God, take control over this situation. Not just that difficult part, over everything. You know, I'm going to tell you, like, you know, for a long time, we were trying with Heather to have babies. And it was so difficult for her. A lot of losses, but two that were too difficult for her. And one, she almost died. And after that, after a while, we were trying to, like, let us adopt. Let us do the process of adoption. We were waiting, and waiting. Nothing happened. Like, okay, let us stop this. If God want to give us this, you know, life without children, okay. And after a while, a little child just appeared. And I want to say this because that's what happens. This little girl, she just appeared out of nothing. And sometimes, like, we want to have control over situation when God says, no, it's not the time yet. I am doing something, but you need to wait. So I want to give you this idea that sometimes we pray for something and we are praying just one time, couple times, and that we give up. And we need to have this persistence, you know, that God said, oh, I know that you need that and I will give you that, but in my time. And we have a song like that, right? It's not my time, but it's God's time. And sometimes we are changing that, like, God, in my time, not in yours. And when we don't have that, like, oh no. So you see that this idea that we need trust more in God. So that Jesus care about you? And he says, yes, Jesus care for you. Jesus care for me. Jesus care about everything that is going on in my life. And I cannot tell you how many times he was great about the blessings that he gave me. I was never expecting to be in this country. Never. I was never expecting to have a wife from this country. I was never expecting that. I was never expecting to, you know, have the opportunity to preach in English in this country. But the point is, like, you keep trusting in God, and you keep, like, God, do what you need to do, and I will follow that. So it's sometimes we think, like, no, we need to take control of everything in life. I says, no, let me take control. Let me take control. So Jesus cares what you are going through, and Jesus cares about your life. So he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the wave, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. So he said to his disciple, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Do you see this? This is what Jesus is telling us all the time. When we are not trusting in him, when we are not, like, we are trying to control everything and not trusting in God, God is saying, you need more faith. Why are you afraid of this? Why are you worried about this? Why are you anxious about this? It's like the answer is because we want to have control. And God says, no, let me have control over that. So what did Jesus show to his disciples at this moment? Well, first, he was powerful enough to tell the waves and the storm be calm. You know, this man is huge. So Jesus showed that he was absolutely control over this earth. And also there's nothing outside of his power. And also there's something that Jesus cannot do. Yeah, that is true. He cannot lie. And he cannot deny himself. But in this context, it's something that Jesus cannot do about our situations. And Jesus says, no. So the point is, again, if there is something too difficult for Jesus, and the answer again is no. But why sometimes we are not receiving the answer that we are expecting from God? I hope that you can ask that to God. You know, because we want just the answer, and we are not asking, like, why I'm not receiving this at this moment? What is God trying to teach me at this moment? What I need to learn about from this experience? How much I need to grow in this area? So we're not asking those questions, and we're just, you know, like, reacting about the answer that God is not giving us. So if there is a request that he cannot answer, so let me ask you one more. So why are you afraid? When we know the answer of this, when we know that he is in control, why are you afraid of something? That is the point. We're not trusting enough in God. We're not trusting enough. Remember, Jesus was in the same boat. He was in the same boat. And I remember this, and I think I told you this before, like, I remember the story of Peter walking on the water, you know? And Peter was like, yeah, you know, everyone was afraid, like, you know, this is a ghost. And Peter, no, let me ask something first. If you're Jesus, you know, yeah, I am Jesus. Okay, command me that I can walk on the water. Jesus said, okay, come. First, give me the command that I can walk on the water. Okay, come. And Peter, like, ha, 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 I can walk in the water. No, Peter was like, whew, right? In one point, Peter was like, what am I doing? This is not normal. I am walking on the water. And I'm walking for Jesus. But notice this, when you read that story, Peter was looking at Jesus first, and later he was looking what? The water, the waves, the rain. So do you see the point? Fix your eyes upon who? Jesus. When you fix your eyes upon Jesus, you are going to trust more. But when you are looking the problem, when you are looking the waves, when you are looking the rain, you know, the situation, like, I cannot trust in Jesus now because I am looking what is around me, not on Jesus. So I hope that you can see the point. When you are looking at Jesus, you are going to have more faith. But when you are looking just the problem that is in front of you, around you, that's what you are going to see, just the problem. The second point is, why are you afraid? And this is the same story from Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. The same story. But I want to bring a different point. In verse 25, we see this, that the disciples are saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. Save us. And we are dying. Please do something. And again, we make the point that Jesus is in the same boat. I cannot imagine Jesus, you know, sleeping on the boat and water, you know, coming into the boat and like Jesus, oh, yes, this is okay. You know, if I die here with the disciple, it's okay. Now, I cannot imagine that. But Jesus was doing something with the disciples, you know, giving them the experience like, you need to trust me more. So, it's the same question. Where is your faith? And let me say this. Sometimes we're afraid because the boat is filling with water, and we're afraid because the waves are crashing over the boat. But you will follow Jesus even when you are afraid? Or you are going to follow Jesus when everything is easy and when everything is okay? When there is no problems, I'm going to follow Jesus. And you know, I hear some people like saying, if I have more time, I will read my Bible. If I have more time, I can go to the worship service. If I have more time, I can give it to the Lord. And sometimes we are talking about sacrifices, you know, like in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, we are living sacrifice. And a sacrifice is not given to God, you know, the last thing in your life. And how many of you, when you have sometimes something in your house that you don't like, you take it and you go to Goodwill and you give it to them? Like, I don't like this, you know, it, taking too much space, you know, this is too old, you know, I'm going to give it to Goodwill. And you think like, well, I am doing a good action. Well, let me say this, you are giving something that you don't like. You are giving something that you don't want. You are giving away something that, you know, you want to take away. And that is not a sacrifice. You know, following God is not just, I will give God like, you know, the last thing. What I don't want. The last minute. If I have more, yeah. That is not a sacrifice. A sacrifice is giving something to God that it is difficult to do. That is a sacrifice. That is why it's called a sacrifice. You know, I cannot pray for 5 minutes, but I will do it. It is a sacrifice. I cannot read my Bible for, you know, one chapter, but I will do it. That is a sacrifice. I don't have time, you know, but I will make the time because it is a sacrifice. I am really tired to go to a service in the morning, but I will do it because it is what? Sacrifice. You are trusting more than God. And God is saying, are you going to trust me even when you are afraid? So, just because you are with Jesus does not mean that you will not experience terrifying trials. We are going to have those moments. And when you read the book of James, James is like giving that for sure, that you are going to have trials. And the book of Peter is saying that if you want to grow in your faith, guess what? You need those trials. So sometimes I remember asking to some of the members and McMember, do you want to grow? And everyone like, yeah, we want to grow. Do you want trials? No. What Peter said that if, you know, you need trials in order to grow. So do you want to grow now? Well, because when life is easy, it's difficult to grow. You know, when you have difficult experiences in your life, those are times when you are growing. Those are the time when you are growing more for Christ. But when life is easy, you know, there's no time for growth. So storms are going to come that are going to test you. So what does their fear have to do with their lack of faith? Remember that Jesus told them, why are you afraid? You don't have faith. Do you see the connection between fear and faith? When you are afraid of a situation that you cannot control, you are showing to God that you don't have enough what? Faith. Trusting in God. So are you willing to trust Jesus with your life? Or are you willing to maintain your faith in the Lord and continue to follow him? So following Jesus is going to be hard. Amen? And again, it's funny to think about those Christians that want easy Christianity. And that is why we have so many religions today, so many denominations, and, you know, the preachers are telling that people, like, you know, you can have a lot of easy life, and you can have a lot of riches, and you can be happy, and they really enjoy those messages. But when someone is preaching about, you need to stop, if you're doing something that is a sin, you need to stop doing that. Whoa, wait a minute. We like messages that, you know, we are going to be happy, that we are going to be in that way, but don't tell us that we need to stop sin. So, you see that a lot of people, they like messages about happiness in some way. And they do not want correction. So let me say this. Do you are going to follow Jesus even when life is hard? Even when it's going to be difficult for you? We need to continue to follow Jesus and hold onto our faith because we know that Jesus controls the storms. And the last point, little faith. How much time I have? Huh? Well, I can preach another sermon. But the last point, little faith. Let me tell you some symptoms of little faith. You know that the doctors are going to tell you some symptoms when you are sick in some way. You know, if you have these symptoms, you have this illness or sickness, you know. If you have these symptoms, you have this, you know, thing. What the Bible also can tell us when you have little faith. And I call some symptoms that you can have, okay? The first one, it is about anxieties. How many of you, in one point of your life, was anxious about something? And I can tell you that many times, you know, I was anxious about different things. And anxiety is not like, people think like, yeah, anxiety is like, that's not anxiety. That's not anxiety that you are like, oh. Anxiety is the idea that you cannot control a situation, but you want to control, and you do not know what to do, so you like keep thinking like, what can I do? So anxiety. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, If that is how God clothed the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So we need to remind ourselves that God does care. And again, it's easy to understand that, but how difficult it is to trust God in those situations. So you are valuable for God. Remember that the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6? You remember that scripture? If you have your Bible with you, if you're still awake, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. In verse 5, in verse 6, do not, you see that in the beginning it said, do not. Can you see that? Everyone can see that? Do not. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, do not. Do you think that that is, God is suggesting that, or do you think that that is a command? It's a command. It says, do not, right? So, do not what? Well, do not be anxious about what? Okay, is that difficult to understand? No, right? It's not. Is that difficult to do? Sometimes. See that we have teachings in the Bible that are easy to understand, but sometimes, like, that is difficult to do. Like another example, like love my enemies. It's easy to understand, but how difficult it is to do that. So here we have another teaching that is easy to understand, but in practice it's difficult to do. Because we are anxious sometimes about almost everything, and sometimes in some way. And God is saying here, do not be anxious. So how can you get to the point that you are not going to be anxious? Huh? Well, yeah, that's right, in heaven. But God is expecting that you can grow and grow and grow and keep trusting in him. Do you remember Abraham, the father of faith? His name was Abraham. Do you know why? Do you know why God called him Abraham? Do you remember what his name means? His name means, you remember that? Close, 20 points for you. His name was the father of many. Okay? That Abraham, the father of many. God told him when he was 35 years old, Abraham, get out of your house, your land, and go to the land that I'm going to show you. I'm going to bless you, you know, you are going to be, I'm going to multiply your descendants, you know, and you are going to be father of many. 25 years later, he was 99. And God told him more than one time, you know, you are going to be like father of many. Do you see the stars? Can you count it? Abraham, no. Well, your descendants are going to be like the stars. He's like, okay, I don't have a son yet. You know, I don't have a son. So can't you imagine someone asking for his name, like, what's your name? Well, my name is Abraham. Well, that is father of many. How many sons do you have? How many children? Well, I don't have any yet. And later, when he was 100 years old, finally he got a son. And again, you can keep asking for the name. Well, my name is father of many. Well, how many children? I have one. Can you keep trusting in God when you see that after 20 years you have just one? And God told you many times you are going to be father of many? Do you see the irony in that? But he was called the father of faith. He was called also God's friend.
Because he was trusting and trusting and trusting. I'm going to keep trusting in God. I'm going to keep trusting in him. I don't know when God is going to do this, but I know that he is going to do it. So you see that this idea of trusting is a huge idea. Because sometimes we do not believe that God can do something like, no, I need to do something. And we become anxious about it. Well, another symptom, it is fears. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, said, "He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid?" You know, fears. I don't know if you fear death. And I know some people that they do not want to die. And they are afraid of death. And sometimes, now I remember this in my head, that sometimes when you have someone who is really close to you and that person is dying, like you are praying to God, like, God, please give that person more years, more time, you know? And that can be a really good time to pray. But what about if God said, no, this is the time for this person? Where do you think will be the best place for that person when that person is in Christ? Do you think that will be the best place on earth or there? Yep. We know the answer, right? In heaven. So why some people are going to pray like, please God, give this person more years that he can be with us? It's because sometimes we are afraid that we can lose that person. And God says, you need to keep trusting. So if someone died in Christ, are you going to see that person again? And you are keep being faithful to God? And the answer is, amen. I am hoping that. You know, I'm hoping to see all those faithful Christians there with God. I don't know about you, but I have always this desire, like, I want to be there. Because there is no more anxieties, there is no more pain, there is no more, nothing, like you are going to be with God. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. I'm going to be there. Do you have that desire to be in heaven? Or you are worried about, you know, I need to work tomorrow, I need to go to school, I need to do something, or my car, I need to fix my car. Well, I'm afraid that someone, you know, can fire me in my job. Or are you worried about, God, I need to be a light for this world? Because I need to be like, I need to live a holy life today, because in that place will be holiness only. So, I don't know about you, but if you have fears in your life, maybe it's because you're not trusting in God. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, saying the same idea. Did you know that God knows what you need? We know that God knows what we need. So why sometimes he's not answering our prayers? Because maybe we don't need it, right? Because maybe God is teaching something and you don't need that, you need something else. Another symptom is doubt. In Matthew 14, 31, it's talking about, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him, "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Doubt. And I know that some in the Lord's church, they have some doubts about different things. Well, I don't know if God created heaven and earth in 6 days. I'm not sure. So when you have a doubt, what are you supposed to do? You know, look for the answer. Look for the answer. Not just, I have a doubt. Yeah, okay, I will be happy about it. You're supposed to look for the answer. So how many days do you think that God needs in order to create everything in this world? You can read the scripture, well, he did it in 6 days. But with his great power, he can do it like... But he did it for a reason. And that is now, I need to look for that reason, right? Sometimes we have doubts about something and we are not looking for the answer. We just have the doubt. I don't know, well, I don't know. And that's it. So we're being given an opportunity to show our Lord that we trust him. The last one, worries. Matthew 16, verse 8, you little faith, why are you talking among yourself about having no bread? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And let me ask you this. Can worry accomplish anything in your life?
Huh?
Yeah, that's true. But it's not going to accomplish anything. It's not going to do anything good. Okay? So you cannot just worry like, whoa, I'm going to worry about for the next 3 days, and God is going to give me 3 more years. Jesus says, no, that's not going to happen. Okay, so worry is not going to do anything good for you. So why are you worried? Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day. So in Luke 17, verse 5, you said, increase our faith. And we're in the end. So in conclusion, increasing our faith, we can win over anxieties, fear, doubts, and worry. And we need to ask ourselves 2 questions. What is God teaching, and what will be my response? What is God teaching me through this problem? What is God teaching me through this event? What is God teaching me through this problem or situation? I'm not receiving an answer, so what is God teaching me now? And sometimes we can just grow more in those ways. For example, maybe God is teaching you that you have too much hope in this world. Or maybe God is teaching you that you have an idol in your hell. I don't understand why I'm so sick. Well, maybe you need to ask something different. What is God teaching me through this? Or maybe God is teaching you that you do not have control. Or maybe God is teaching you that you are not ready to meet the Lord one day. Or maybe God is teaching you that you do not trust him like you think you do. Or maybe God is showing you that we are trying to serve him and wealth. So what is God teaching us? What is he teaching us during those times, during those events? In Romans chapter 8, I'm going to finish with this. Chapter 8, verse 18 says, I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You know, I remember, what was his name? Scott? That was the preacher before here? Scott. I remember him one time in Salem. And he was preaching in Salem. He was talking about, I don't remember the topic. Don't tell him something like that. I don't remember the topic. But he was talking about an example, like our life is like this, he was saying. And eternity is like, eternity. How long it is, it's eternity. And our life is like really, really short. Maybe someone can live for 95 years. My grandfather, he died when he was 93. My older grandfather, he is 87, and he's still in good health.
doesn't matter how many years, but eternity is eternal. And you are going to be in eternity with God, or maybe down there, if that depends on you. So for the eternity, that's forever. Can't you imagine living without pain, without suffering, without worry, without anxiety, without everything that this world is given to you? Now everything is going to disappear, like, and now I am in eternity with God. I am in eternity with Him.
Notice this last scripture. And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And sometimes people read this verse and say, well, just the good things. No, everything works for good. Everything. Not just the good things. So I hope that you can keep trusting in God, and I hope that you can keep living in that, increasing your faith. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your patience. If we can help you in any way, please come forward.
I will stand and sing the last song.